Race Chat Live!
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, race fans, y'all know what time it is. It's, well, it's Thursday night. We didn't come on the air Monday night. We probably done confused people, but it don't matter. We're just here to have fun anyway. I've got my co-host in the building, Mr. Craig Moore from the upstate New York, where it's snowing and will continue this way all the way until April. In other news,
man,
CJ Sports should be already in the backdrop. I think that would probably be the only way me and Craig could actually talk to each other, as if Mr. CJ Sports is sitting in his chair. Of course, it's been awesome to have my old producer back. Of course, you know, I hated that we lost a colleague to other endeavors with Mike Perricone, but it's been great to have Mr. CJ Sports back on as our producer and to be able to get his hindsight on certain issues and stuff. And I'm getting my coffee brought to me just now, so we'll get things kicked off. I mean, it's the end of the race year, guys. There's snow on the ground already. We're not going to be going racing in upstate New York unless it's snowmobiles. No.
Hold up.
Yeah? Come on.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but we did race last week down at Accord Speedway in Sullivan County. They did the annual turkey trot race, and I ain't seen no results on it, but you would not have caught me in the stands. I love to watch racing, but it's too cold for that.
Oh, Craig Moore, see, that's the difference. You know, being from the South, like, y'all enjoy your summer times. Well, in the South, we enjoy our winter times because most of the time we don't get it that cold, just as y'all don't get it that hot in the summertime. I mean, Craig, there's only so many clothes you can take off when you live in the state of Mississippi. First of all, the 90% humidity will suffocate anybody. And then on top of that, you have temperatures ranging in 110, feels like 120 degrees sometimes. It can be exhausting. And, of course, this is nothing new to you. Y'all, at some point in time, get these bursts of heat waves up there where y'all are, just as we sometimes get a taste of that cold, bitter weather that we are experiencing right now. As a matter of fact, to compare temperatures right now in upstate New York versus
down here in the dirty South.
Yeah, it's let me look at my phone real quick, because how in the hell could anybody do anything these days without these phones?
I know.
We're showing a current temperature of, let's see, got to refresh it, 34 degrees. We're 34 degrees here in Tombsuba, Mississippi. How cold
You're
is it where 34? You are?
You're at 34 degrees, you said?
Yes, sir.
Well, you
it's got
us beat by 9 degrees, because we're at 23 in
Mayfield. That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. We are colder here in Tombsuba, Mississippi than my friend is up in upstate New York. Mr. CJ Sports, I hope you've got a cup of coffee. I hope that you're chilling, literally. Give us a weather report from Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
He's got his washing machine running.
Uh-oh.
He's a single man now, so he's got to do his own.
Yeah, I guess we dropped the ball on that.
Well, hold on. One, I didn't know that before because I'm not really good at that. I'm not throwing anybody in the bus. Second of all, no, all my clothes are clean. I'm on top of it. I'm a very clean, neat freak, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to be able to have a clean house. But I'm doing the store house because my linen guy whacked on his job this week, and he comes on Monday, and here we are Wednesday or Thursday, and we're already out of foul. So, but anyway, 41 degrees is where we're at right now, and thank God it finally stopped raining, because that river that flooded back in the hurricane, we were getting real close to all that happening again with all the rain we've had for four straight days, nonstop, four down. But 41 degrees.
Yeah, definitely. And we've had a lot of rain as well. Matter of fact, it's become more of a jungle down here in the South as it has anything else. Over the last 3 to 4 years, we've seen an extreme amount of moisture coming through. They talk about global warming, guys. I think it's, you know, without saying that evolution isn't anything other than things evolving, because that's not my spiritual belief, but I believe that, you know, there's cycles for all of it, and we're going through a different cycle at this time. It is crazy that on this November 15th date, that it's actually colder in South Mississippi than it is in upstate New York. I'm still baffled by that one. But
I will jump in here one second before y'all get into everything. One, I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, the I-95 Sports Network, Mile High Radio, Carolina Sports Plus, and Maxivation Digital Media for making all this possible. And I want to shout out to Miss CJ Sports, my ex 5 years ago, mother of my children, known each other for 18 years. I'm going to go ahead and give her a happy early birthday since we won't be on the air Saturday. I know the show's her birthday is Saturday, so I want to say happy birthday. I know she tunes in every once in a while and still catches some of the shows.
All right. Well, hopefully she's listening in tonight. I mean, we could talk about so much. And, you know, Craig Moore, what I like the most about our show is we may hit three topics, but you're going to definitely walk away from Race Chat Live knowing how we feel about these topics. And, you know, we're rolling up into the homestead here. It's the last race of the NASCAR Cup season. There's been a lot of other news beforehand. First of all, guys, while I've got us all here, of course, I shared yesterday that Nashville is going to be a dirt track for the World of Outlaws Sprint Car class. Guys, what is going on with that? And is this kind of like the olive branch to connecting themselves back to NASCAR, considering that they're going to put dirt on a surface that's been asphalt? The question is, are they leasing the dirt or are they buying the dirt? But after furthermore research, the people that are actually promoting this race are tied into NASCAR. So any quick thoughts from you guys about that current situation, Nashville Fairgrounds, getting some dirt for a big race?
I think it's great. Why would they lease the dirt? They probably just bought it. Would they really want it back after it's been used and fluid in it and things like that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely. Craig Moore, there's a business.
That's like borrowing toilet paper and giving it back.
Well, that's and I promise you, Craig Moore, the dirt is very, very, very expensive. And in any quarter-mile speedway, in order to resurface the racetrack, costs right around the price of hold your horses and keep your mouth from hitting the ground, $30,000 to repack a racetrack. So you're looking at $30,000 worth of dirt that services these quarter-mile dirt tracks. And so you can only imagine what they're paying per square yard for the dirt, which makes it more understandable if they're not going to keep it dirt, that they are actually leasing the dirt. I know as crazy as that sounds, guys, but look, now that we've gone a little bit deeper into this, are we still on the same thought period? Because, I mean, literally, it is a hell of a lot of money spent to come in and bring in some dirt and put it over some asphalt.
Okay, that was going to be my question once. I didn't get into it. I've seen the article, but I didn't get into the details. My question is all of that worth the work that's going to go into it? Is there not? I know Nashville is a pretty big deal to be running in Nashville, and it, you know, it's kind of one of those tracks. Like, if you had an opportunity to put dirt on Rockingham, I'm sure, you know, with the history of Rockingham, is all the work that's going into it just to make it dirt for one race? It's not like it's just a dirt track and they're upkeeping it or getting it up to par. You're talking about bringing a bunch of dirt in and throwing some asphalt, and then you've got to remove it all and everything else. Is it really worth all that just for this event?
Well,
very good question.
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Craig. I would love to hear your thoughts, and I'll reply back to what Mr. CJ said.
Well, it would have to be, CJ, or they wouldn't do it. I mean, it's these
There's
track
a lot
owners
of things
and promoters.
NASCAR doesn't mean they're worth it.
Well, these track owners and promoters are not like the federal government. They don't waste money on the study of the flow of ketchup. They know that it's going to be worth it in the long run. And do I think it's a tie to tie the not sports because it's the same sport, but the same industry together and bring them back together as a marriage? I think they're hoping it is, but it may be too soon to tell. We'll have to wait on the numbers when the final numbers come in.
Well, I can tell you one thing about the numbers, and that's these guys that are helping do this event, they're not cheap vendors. One of the companies is MSG Production. It's a motorsport strategy group. And what they do is they come in and basically manage full-scale production, event production, artist booking, talent management, audio-video production, sponsor activation, TV production, live streaming, booth design. I mean, when it comes to your basic needs in this business, MSG Strategy is the one to turn to. They're involved with the promotion of this group, along with another company that I'm pulling up right now. Here we go. Another company by the name of Bruco Marketing Group. And what's very interesting about this Bruco Marketing Group is they are tied directly into NASCAR. They are, let's pull up their website real quick so I can give you a briefing on them. But this actually was brought to my attention, and the more that it was discussed with a certain individual, the more we realized that this is a behind the scenes deal. First of all, if you don't know the history of Nashville Speedway, there's two Nashville Speedways. There's one south of it, and then there's one, the Nashville Fairgrounds. And the Nashville Fairgrounds used to host a lot of cup events and all back in the day. The newest racetrack that's been built is south of Nashville, about 10 miles. But this one is the one that's owned by the city and also includes the fairgrounds. Now, the Bruco Marketing Company that's marketing this, basically the promoter of this bunch, it's called Bruco Marketing Group. They create and execute custom mobile marketing programs, vehicle trailer design, timelines, site selection, program logistics, DOT compliance, event staffing and execution, event reporting analysis. These guys are a one-stop shop of where they handle all the hiring. They make sure that there's the emergency crews. I mean, so what I'm trying to make a point here is there's some top dog guys behind this single event of a sprint car show that's typically held at any individual racetrack across America during the summertime, okay? Because World of Outlaw sprint cars go to about 60 events. It just that are World of Outlaw events. Now, some of them go to more races that are not sanctioned by World of Outlaws. Some of your Derek Hagars and Terry Gray's of the world, Morgan Turpin's, they don't really follow the World of Outlaws tour, but you can see them showing up for certain races depending on where they are on the map in their region. But back to the World of Outlaws guys, they don't normally or typically have these kind of firms working directly with them. It definitely leaves you scratching your head knowing that NASCAR is moving towards a short track theory. They are also interested in dirt tracks. Now, all of a sudden, they've got a historical place that's going to get a bunch of dirt on it for one individual race, guys, and it's going to be a World of Outlaw sprint cars. I think there's more to this story, and I think that this is direct attention to NASCAR to say, hey, we're willing to do what it takes. We're bringing in the top-notch people. We're hiring your people to come in here and organize this event.
Yeah, and I do. I think it's going to be great for the sport. So, yeah, we'll have to.
I have a question. This is kind of going to go left field, but it's been on my time feed a time or two, and I'm really curious to know if this is true or not, and your opinions or not. Your opinions on this, if it is true, but the whole Jeremy Mayfield thing, is this really happening?
Okay, so I've done some research throughout the day, and the biggest thing that I can find is Shayna Mayfield herself saying, guys, y'all are moving too fast. Nothing has changed up to this point. Of course, we've heard reports that he completed the recovery program in September. And I'm going to tell you one simple thing that come to mind the moment that I heard that. If it is true that Jeremy Mayfield has completed the road to recovery, it is not up to NASCAR to make that information presentable. In other words, it has to be waivered by Jeremy Mayfield for NASCAR to release that information. So there is a possible chance that Jeremy Mayfield has completed the Road to Recovery program, as we've heard reported. But if he did not sign a waiver, knowing Jeremy Mayfield and knowing NASCAR, he's not going to give them anything that they can do. He's going to do it on his own time. He's going to make the announcement himself. But I think what we were able to see is a peek in, and
I don't know how you guys feel about this,
but I've told you many times, Mr. CJ Sports, this just says how long we've had this radio show, okay? Because I've told you for a long time that I stand on the side of Jeremy Mayfield, and I know that what they did with Tim Richmond to get him out of a race car because they had information that they didn't, they weren't supposed to have because of the medical history law. In other words, when anything that has to do with your medical history, it's the FIFA law or something, the PIPA law, they're not allowed to discuss that with anybody without your consent. So even in Richmond's behalf, sir?
It's called the HIPAA law, H-I-P-A.
The HIPAA law, yeah, the HIPAA, that's exactly right. Thank you, Craig Moore. Sometimes things get, a little boggled in the mind, they don't come out right. But without that written consent, and I would doubt Mayfield would give NASCAR written consent to release that information, we're left to kind of wonder. Now, what is interesting to the fact is NASCAR has yet to make a statement. And generally, in something that would be as hot news as this is, you would think that NASCAR would either nip it in the bud, or maybe they're not obliged to because he did complete the program. Maybe that's the exact strategy Jeremy Mayfield was using. But above all, and I'll state it right here before I sit back and listen to you guys' opinion on how y'all feel about Jeremy Mayfield. I've stated it on the show many times. I support Jeremy Mayfield, and I hope that he does make it back to the Truck Series. I think the Truck Series needs somebody like Jeremy Mayfield to race, and it gives it more popularity, guys. But I'll pass the torch over to you, Craig. What do you think?
Well, here's my question, and we said this about Carl Edwards. We said this about Matt Kenseth. We said it about Jeff Gordon. He has been out how many seasons now? Seven, eight?
Ten.
Ten. 10 years,
Ten
an
seasons.
Entire decade.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, he was racing when the car of tomorrow, when the car that should have never been was on the track. I think that if somebody gives him a shot, I think he has to prove himself. I think he should start. It's kind of like that movie with Adam Sandler there. Billy Madison. I think he's going to have to do baby steps if he wants back in. Do I think NASCAR railroaded him? I don't know. But I will tell you that as a car owner, if I was a car owner in any of the three series, I might be a little hesitant. It took him 10 years to complete the Road to Recovery.
What it is this Road to Recovery was created by the mistakes of counsel by NASCAR with the Jeremy Mayfield case. What everybody has yet to find out from this Jeremy Mayfield case is, one, does Adderall and Claritin create a false positive for meth? Guess what, guys? When you go down there and you take your piss test, they ask you, have you been given any type of medication? Are you on Adderall? Have you taken any kind of sinus medication? Those, they know for a fact that those give false positives to a drug test, okay? So that's never been admitted, but it's never been denied either, okay? And on the second word is the reason why Mayfield went and got a secondary test done that very day is because he himself did not trust the system. He was not suing NASCAR because he didn't think that he failed a piss test. He was suing NASCAR because the way that they had their drug policy didn't cohere with the rules and regulations of the law concerning drug testing. So there was no second sample sent somewhere else to get a false positive check. In other words, when you have a false positive, if you send your specimen to two different clinics, then you have two different clinics that agree with each other, right? If you're really positive. But if you're a false positive, you're going to have one that says one thing, and you're going to have independent test that says the other. Well, now that lets you know, hey, this was not a good test. We have to piss you again. So NASCAR created this road to recovery policy based off the mistakes that Jeremy Mayfield's lawyer team figured out in the process of trying to get him reinstated back into NASCAR. What we forget about Jeremy Mayfield is he had made a commitment to be a car owner, had sponsors lined up for his race car the entire season when he was bombarded after the All-Star event and wasn't allowed to get into a race car. He was able to get into the race car, I think, one time, Mr. CJ Sports, and that was at Daytona, and then they suspended him again, right?
I don't remember the whole ordeal. I just do know that neither side really wanted to cave in on their stance on everything. I guess I'm in a little bit, I'm in a different boat than obviously you, and I'm sorry I didn't quite catch what Greg said, where he stood on it. To me, NASCAR, and I know this is going to sound harsh, and I know this is, it is what it is to me. To me, NASCAR is a little bit different than any other sport. You're talking about cars 200 miles an hour. We've watched Bobby Allison go up into the catch bench. We've watched Kyle Larson go up in the catch bench. We've seen Austin Dillon not too long ago. This is a very dangerous sport, not only to the fans, the workers, the crews, and everything else. I have a zero tolerance. You want me to be 100% honest with you? I don't think AJ Allmendinger should be in a car right now. I'm sorry, but the money these people spend to have physicians and everything else, that should help you prevent to even have a possibility of a false positive. As dangerous as this sport is, not that I'm giving forgiveness to any other sport, but racing in general, it's not just NASCAR, but racing in general, I have a zero tolerance. If you fail any test, period, I'm sorry, but in my book, you're done because of how dangerous the sport is. I can remember not too long ago,
this sounds like a scorned baseball fan, but go ahead, please finish your topic.
I remember when Mark Martin, where he slid through the infield grass and where the side of his car hit where the wall opened up to go back in the garage area. I don't know if y'all remember that or not.
Oh, yeah, I remember it clearly.
It barely missed him. I and as many times as I've been down pit road, you know, these thoughts have gone through my mind. What happens at this? What happens at that? It's a very dangerous sport, even as a spectator. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if Danica would have came up with a false positive, four positive, whatever the case may be. I have a zero tolerance with it just because of the danger of the sport. It could be the most popular, the most innocent. It could be a screw-up. We know, for instance, LeBron James spends like $1 million a year to take care of his body and everything else. And so he pays people to make sure. And I know drivers don't make that type of money, and not everybody makes that type of money when they're an athlete. But you need to do your homework, and especially being a race car driver, so you never have a positive test. I'm sorry, that's a lot of lives. It could be innocent, just like Allmendinger could be innocent. I'm not willing to take that chance when it comes to racing and any kind of positive test period, and that's where I stand on that.
First of all, I wish Steve Billmeyer was still here because I would ask him, Steve, how much was the amphetamines a problem back in your day? And he would probably laugh and say, if we only knew. Amphetamines have been part of racing just as moonshine was back in the 40s. And the fact of it is I don't think that it's not an issue today in NASCAR. I believe reports that Denny said 70% of the field is taking prescription Adderall. And at that point in time, when Mayfield was suspended, who's to say that he wasn't on Adderall, and who's to say that he didn't have a prescription? And that's one of the reasons why this turned into the fiasco that it has turned into. Now, NASCAR may have bulged and said, okay, we will allow a prescription Adderall to be consumed by drivers under certain stipulations. Now, all this is hearsay, right? But we've had reports publicly that this has continued to go on. And I agree so much with what you said, Mr. CJ Sports. These guys are getting paid to be clean. But at the same time, people do make mistakes. And there's a road to that that can help them. And I think to this day, the NASCAR has a lot better drug policy than what they've had in the past. And I really think that they're on top of things. But I feel like somewhere in that agreement, Adderall was put on the table that, hey, this is a prescription for guys with ADD. And they use that as a performance enhancer. So with it still going on and still being talked about that this is still going on, then obviously NASCAR still has a problem. And certain rumors by certain drivers may very well be true. And we'll just never know because they have a prescription to it. But to end the subject, I wish Jeremy Mayfield and Shayna all the success in the world. Congratulations on getting back behind the wheel again in the dirt car, and hopefully we'll see him at Daytona in February. Craig, I'm pretty sure you said you were not going to talk as much tonight, but, you know, we rescheduled the show for you to talk, so, I mean, here I am. I'm going to pass the torch to you, man. What subject do you want to bring to the table next?
Well, let's look at this. And, yeah, my voice is getting better. I had a busy, busy weekend last weekend. Four nights in a row, but I want to talk about the Final Four in Miami. Kevin Harvick pulled it out, and he is racing for a championship. Three of those guys have all been in, are champions. One is not. Martin Truex Jr. said something earlier this week, or it may have even been today, that Joey Logano is getting paid back Sunday at Miami. So if you look back at his comments from a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago at Martinsville, he said that he wasn't going to do anything. Now today, he said he's going to. Maybe this man needs a maybe this man needs a mood stabilizer.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's either going to do something, or he's not. And
Craig, what it sounds like is Joey's already in Martin Truex's head, because if Martin Truex was this could be a blow, you know. Like, hey, I'm going to do this, but then he doesn't, and he's trying to get in Logano's head. But, Craig, you just said it, man. And what it tells me is Logano's already in Truex's head, because why would you risk tearing your race car up, man, when you got a chance at a freaking championship? Please, carry on.
I think if he goes down a lap or something happens, that it's going to happen. I think as long as he's competitive in the lead lap, then no, we're not going to see nothing.
I don't know.
Which,
you know, I have to wonder, like Chris just said, you just said too, but I think that if they're racing 1-2, and obviously Truex is second, and they're coming out of 3 and 4, Logano's going to get bumped, and Logano's going to get spun.
Oh, yeah, that too. But I meant like earlier in the race, if, you know, or, you know, other scenarios. Yeah, I agree with that as well, Craig.
You know what would make this championship the best? If they both went into turn four, just as they did a few weeks ago, and they did the same damn thing again, and who knows who wins? Who knows who wins? But if we can get that contact on the last lap to the checkered flag, I feel like then there's a reason for it. Other than that, you're just going to take a race car that Barney could have sold for a lot more, and probably it's going to be put up in some. Hall of Fame anyway, and I would if anything because of the accomplishments.
No, it's going to Dale Jr.'s graveyard.
I love it. You're right on point there, Craig Moore.
But listen, before we talk about the Final Four, because My ADD will get
but
the best of me.
Wait a minute. We're talking about ganging up Martin Truex Jr., wrecking Joey Logano, and taking him out of championship form. Okay, we're talking about another guy who's racing for a championship who's going to wreck another guy who's chasing for a championship. If I'm Logano, I'm paying Brad Keselowski, or I'm paying Ryan Blaney, or I'm going to the back of the cup garage back there to some Toyota guy who doesn't get a darn thing from Toyota and saying, hey, man, you want me to drop you off one of these nice cars in my garage? Because we know Logano's got a lot of nice cars in his garage, right? How about I get you that old 57 Chevelle right there, huh? Just go on out there and take old Martin Truex out for me. Now, if that come out that it was true, how many people would say Logano doesn't deserve a championship or say he won the race, and they want to take it back because Logano fixed the chase race, okay? That's what this is doing, guys. It's leaving so many scenarios. If I was Logano, I'd have my ass covered. I'd cover my back, man.
All right, now here's an interesting question for you. And I'm sure it gets brought up, and I'm pretty sure we brought it up last year at the end of the season. Truex wins. Or whoever. That's not who my pick is, by the way, to win the race. Truex wins. They take his car back to the R&D. They tear it apart. And they find the same thing that they found on Harvick's car. Does NASCAR remove the championship?
That's a good question. Because how do you punish a team that's not going to be around next year? That's such a good question.
If I'm
the 78 team, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. from what I've heard, and this is just, you know, I haven't researched this, but those cars have already been pre-teched that they're racing. The four championship cars have been pre-teched at the R&D center before they go to the racetrack. But Mr. CJ Sports, go ahead.
That leads me to another question that I saw earlier this week as well that's kind of related to this. With being caught cheating, like the Kevin Harvick, are we at a point that wins shouldn't count if you're, you know, they take away and give you an incumbent win or whatever and you lose your championship points or whatever, if you're caught cheating, should the win not count as well? Like I would rather them not get credit for the win if they cheated, I mean, not just lose the points. Should we be at a point that a win shouldn't count if you get caught being outside of the rules?
Absolutely. I was waiting on Craig, but absolutely. We're at that point when you go to the dirt track and you cross the scales and you weigh less than what you're supposed to. I mean, it is what it is. You know, you didn't pick up enough dirt down there on the bottom before you rolled across the scales. Everybody's going to try to get as much as they can, stay within that gray area. But sometimes you just didn't pick up enough dirt on the track there. To go across the scales, you wind up light, you lose the race, okay? That's going to – and until NASCAR says, hey, you can't show up to the track next week because you failed inspection, we're going to continue to have this. Now, what is kind of confusing about all this, and y'all follow me now, Scott Zipadelli is up on the TV, and he says every car in the NASCAR garage is cheating. There's nobody that's 100% legal. Now, NASCAR didn't come down with a $50,000 fine and suspend him for a year for comments that were detrimental to stock car racing. So you tell me, as we ask another question, the third straight question, and I done forgot it. No, I'm just kidding, guys. What if Zipadelli can get away with saying that and they didn't fine him, what does that say about NASCAR? NASCAR knows that there's not a car in the garage that's 100% legal. That's what it says, because if not, NASCAR would have slapped Zipadelli with a fine. They would have called him out and publicly humiliated him for comments detrimental to stock car racing. We've heard that so many times before.
You're absolutely right. Sorry, I was swallowing. You're absolutely right. There's not a car in that garage.
Yeah,
just,
that's what happens sometimes, right?
There's not a car in that garage. It's 100% legal. Get your minds out of the gutters, boys. To go back to your point of these cars being pre-teched before at the R&D center before they headed to Miami, what's to say they didn't screw with them on the way?
Right. It's going to be something, guys. If these four cars, something happens in tech, if something happens in post-race tech, this will be the most scrutinized championship ever in NASCAR history. And so you just hope that these guys finish somewhere between 20th and 16th and let the rest of the teams catch up to them. Because all eyes are on the championship teams. As a matter of fact, Craig Moore and Mr. CJ Sports, I'm not going to reveal my pick right now, but I would not be surprised at all to not see these cars up front. I just almost have a feeling somebody else is going
to
push
the
envelope.
They're going to have – one of them is going to have to lead a lap. One of them is going to have to win a stage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the stage points, Craig, such a great point there. If you win a stage point and you're not 1, 2, 3, 4 on the grid, then this could turn sour really quick for one of these guys. If they have a bad pit stop, you're looking at, you know, how much you can gain through these stage points. You know, if Kyle Busch goes up there on that wall and starts dominating, wins both stages, and the other guys are only in 10th and 16th and 20th, well, midway through the race, guys, we're going to know Kyle Busch is going to win. He's going to be the champion. Regardless if he wins or not. I think that, you know, that's something that we're going to have to look forward to. Of course, it does remind me of the 1992 race at Atlanta with Bill Elliott, Alan Kowicki, and Davey Allison. And, of course, there was situations through that whole race that led up to Alan Kowicki becoming the champion. And it was all because of what Craig Moore just said. He led enough laps. He led the most laps. That gave him the advantage. Alan Kowicki is forever in the record books as being the 1992 Cup champion. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take execution this weekend. But I'm not necessarily believing that the field of cars are going to give it to him. We could see Brian Blaney fast. We could see Kyle Larson fast. We could see Brad Keselowski up front. Guys, those are just three drivers. Okay, and we know that they're capable of running up front.
Yeah, like I said, one's going to have to win a stage, one's going to have to lead. Not all four of these guys can sandbag. I mean, they can. They can, and then run it balls to the wall in the third segment. And what happens, that'll be interesting to see if that happens. But it's a winner-take-all style race.
Right.
Not like what it was years ago when you raced for points and Jeff Gordon needed to beat Dale Earnhardt by three positions in order to win the championship.
Qualifying matters always, but this weekend, qualifying will give you the advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Now, let's drop down a series real quick. Cole Custer, let's downshift a little bit. Cole Custer last week finishes, starts 40th, or 39th or 40th, whatever it was. And they said, oh, he's going to be in trouble. He's going to be in trouble. That kid, not Cole Custer, I'm sorry, Christopher Bell. That kid was a rocket ship on rails. He ended up winning. And now he's racing for a championship. Here's a question for you. Here's something to put your thought process into order. Did he purposely fail tech three times? Because he knew the car that he had and he knew he could get up front? Was he playing a very high-stakes game of poker? I say yes.
Well, I mean, the car had to have been teched in the end, and obviously it passed. I think that probably the lower series do get away with a little bit more, a little less teching. There is a big possibility that what you said is true. A lot of times they use delusion. They'll send a rumor that the front of the car is illegal when it's really something in the back of the car. But you know what I took from this past race at Phoenix in the Xfinity series is how we watch somebody who was a favorite to win the championship no longer racing for a championship, and that was Justin Allgaier. But with the Christopher Bell, yeah, I mean, Joe Gibbs, sure. They probably had that car as cheated up as they could. Obviously, that was a very dominant win. He had to pass a lot of cars to get there, a lot of good cars. There's no reason for me not to believe that there wasn't something there that maybe NASCAR just didn't catch.
Well, my goodness gracious, we agree on something.
Yeah. How about that? But I do find it very, you know, disturbing that a favorite, you know, in this championship, Justin Allgaier, didn't make it into the Final Four. I think that that's, you know, something that that will need to be looked into because Allgaier had such a great year. And these points are supposed to be there to protect him in a way, and I understand that, you know, there's going to be some losers in the end. We get this all the time with Alabama in the Final Four playoff. You know, does Alabama deserve to be there? Well, you know, you look at what Allgaier raced all year long and Cup guys picking up points and taking away stage points. If those guys were not qualified for the stage points, then the stage points should have went to those that qualify for them, and Allgaier would have had enough to carry on into the next race. Do you see where I'm coming with this, guys? Because it's basically, if he had to finish second to Kyle Busch, who doesn't really belong in that class, then he's not going to get first place stage points. If they were to award these drivers those stage points, then I believe that there would not have been enough distance created for him not to. Because the whole point of this rewarding factor is to make sure that guys who have had a great year, who wouldn't mathematically be out of a championship, find themselves mathematically out of a championship. When you look at the statistics of the top four, that's my question from y'all the other day was, I really couldn't fathom the day that we picked our championship Final Fours, and all of y'all left Joey Logano off the board, and I'm like, but Joey, you look at his top fives and you look at his top tens, he has a chance to be that fourth member in the Final Four. And I think some of us chose, I believe I chose Clint Bowyer, and I can't really remember who y'all's twos were, but you know, once again, this is supposed to be a rewarding factor with the stage points, and I feel like that NASCAR, by not presenting them with stage points because of Cup drivers racing in their series, that this eventually hindered one of the better cars to not be in the championship this weekend. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a Dale Jr. fan or Junior Motorsports fan. Nothing at all.
Well, I believe I picked Eric Almirola to be in the Final Four, and, well, we all know how that worked out.
Yeah, Kyle Busch should have let him win.
Yeah.
It's funny that Kyle even said that over the radio, isn't it? I mean, we're conspiracy race chat live, right? And then and then Kyle Busch gives us something to work off of, and we wait till near the end of the show to talk about Kyle Busch's remarks that, hey, maybe I should let Eric Almirola win so it knocks Kevin Harvick out of a championship bid. You know, and this goes back to what happened earlier in the month when they were all talking about, you've got four cars in the final eight, Stuart Haas Racing. How would you feel if you got all four cars in? Well, guess what? Stuart Haas almost had all four cars eliminated, okay? So that's how quickly this can turn around on somebody. As a matter of fact, it had to be devastating for Tony to sit there and know and start counting off, well, he's not going to race. And then to have to know that the only way that Amarola was going to get in is by knocking off Harvick. You know, that had to have left a car owner torn into who and how, who was going to make the bid for a championship. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine being a car owner and sitting there thinking, well, Almirola's got to knock off Harvick in order to get in and knock Harvick out. It must have been nail-biting. But I will say this, you know, watching the embrace between Tony and Kurt at the end of that race Sunday was heart-wrenching. Because Kurt had tried and tried and tried to end his year. And I'm not going to say he had a bad year. He didn't have a stellar year, but he made it a lot further than I think most people gave him, that most people thought he would. Let's put it that way.
If Kurt Busch had been around at the end, Craig Moore, I believe we would have had some fireworks there. And I believe that Kurt's just that kind of driver. You give him a piece of meat to chase, and he's going to run until his tongue falls out, okay? That's what Kurt's going to do. And I think that, you know, it was heartbreaking that he lost. I think that he wanted to leave Stuart Haas with the championship that they never believed he could give them. And Tony obviously took that moment to make a coworker, an employee, realize that, hey, we have appreciated your 4 years here. We appreciate what you've brought to the table with us and the never quit attitude. Because though we have heard from so many radio recordings of this guy pounding every crew chief he's ever had and calling the cars junk. But, you know, that's just the battle, man. That's the battle that Kurt Busch goes through. He's going to give you all that he can give in that race car. And unfortunately, even though it's not been announced to Chip Ganassi, Monster Energy has announced that they're going to Chip Ganassi, and I do believe that we've seen the KB on the top of that race car, which would basically signify that Kurt Busch will be headed to Chip Ganassi. I'm not sure, like we've said throughout the year, that this is going to be the best move for Kurt Busch. I see it as a step down, and I think that the reason, the reality of this championship and not being able to race in the Final Four, that was him saying this was my last opportunity chance. So, you get any thoughts on that, guys? Am I right there on it?
Yeah, I think that this was his last shot at a championship. For, you know, with a top quality team, maybe he'll prove me wrong next year. Who knows? But CJ, what do you got? What do you think?
This probably was his best and last opportunity at making a championship run. Nothing against Ganassi. You know, they've up and down with the quality of their cars. We discussed this, a few weeks ago, that, you know, basically, I think we all felt the same way, that Ganassi needs to really step up his game and make sure that, you know, Larson has competitive cars underneath him. I think that's the only thing that makes Larson walk away from this organization, is not having competitive cars. As long as they're competitive, I don't think there's ever a divorce in this partnership just because of how it was formed. This was probably Bush's last legit opportunity to have a championship, another championship in his belt.
And to go off of what you just said, Mr. CJ Sports, I think that there is one other available opportunity, and that's Chip Ganassi realizing that his cars are not up to par, and makes the move to make sure that he is investing his money the same way that Barney Visor invested his money in championship teams and also Stuart Haas Racing, okay? Because if you look at what Stuart Haas did with Hendrick Motorsports, they won a championship. They won two championships running the Hendrick cars. And Chip Ganassi and all the sponsorship money that is coming into there, he needs to invest it into a similar program. If he can't make his own motors and he can't build his own cars, I think they are building their cars, then he needs to find out that put his money where his mouth is. And it was scoot on over there to Toyota, okay? And that way Kyle Busch, when he gets sick and tired of where he's at, he can go somewhere else and basically carry that Toyota team over into Chip Ganassi. I mean, look at what Martin Truex Jr. was able to accomplish with his alliance with TRD. If I'm Chip Ganassi and I know the financial situation that Barney was in and I'm looking at my books and saying, hey, I could do this, then why would I not go to Toyota Racing? Why would I not go to Mr. Hendrick and say, hey, this is, you know, we've been partners for a long time. I'm willing, if this is what it costs Furniture Row Racing to be top class, this is what I want as well and for this price. So, you know, I still think that maybe Kurt's got something up his sleeve. Monster Energy has been a longtime supporter of the Busch family. We all know that Joe Gibbs doesn't retire drivers, not career drivers anyway. He will eventually turn the page on Kyle Busch based off of what Joe Gibbs has done over the years. Now, Kyle may walk into Toyota Racing Development and Joe Gibbs Race Shop and say, hey, I'm done, before anybody thinks that he would. But other than that, I think that it's hard to say that Kyle Busch will retire as a Joe Gibbs driver, considering how Joe Gibbs has treated his other older colleagues, older drivers, as they've started to turn the page. I would have never guessed that he would have walked away from Bobby Labonte. I would have never guessed that Dale Jarrett wouldn't have had more than a three year opportunity. I would have never thought that Joey Logano would ever leave Joe Gibbs Racing after developing him and all the money that it took to get him where he is. So, I'm just giving you facts, guys, and there may be something to this of bringing Kurt Busch out of the Stuart Haas organization and over into Chip Ganassi. Because, you know, Kurt could do a lot with a manufacturer signing on to him. And being at Chip Ganassi, he doesn't have that much support from Chevy. So, you know, this is his second time in the Golden Horseshoe. We'll see how it turns out for Kurt Busch. But I just don't see Chip Ganassi being able to put out fleet cars for neither Larson or Busch.
I don't know. It'll definitely be interesting. How do you think, let me ask you, how do you think Daniel Hemric will do in the 31 next year when he takes over Flying Ryan Newman's ride? Say that 10 times.
Well, the first lesson of Daniel Hemric will be on how to get around Ryan Newman's bumper. That'll be lesson number one by Daniel Hemric, because we know how hard it is for most drivers to get around Ryan Newman, and probably it will show even more with that being, you know, Newman's former car. He's probably going to work Daniel Hemric a little bit harder than he works the rest of the field.
All right, so let's talk about, I'm going to go with Sauter to win the championship and win it all down in Miami this weekend.
I am a Toyota hater, and y'all know it. I say it all the time. But, guys, the year that Brett Moffitt has had, I'm on the Brett Moffitt train, guys. I want to see Moffitt pull it out. I've watched Moffitt over the few years, and, of course, you know, he subbed some for Brian Vickers in the 55 car at Michael Waltrip Racing. Had an opportunity pulled out from up underneath him, worked himself back from the K&N and ARCA series, took a part-time ride last year, actually replaced Ryan Truex in the 16, had a part-time ride last year with another team, but replaced the 16, replaced Ryan Truex in the 16 car, in the 16 truck, and has done a magnificent job this year, being able to win races and not even know if you're going to have a sponsorship deal for next week is amazing. It shows the dedication that the team had. And so, you know, I'm going to put manufacturers aside this week, and I tell you what, I've got my money on Brett Moffitt. I think that he's gonna seal the deal, guys.
I'm going with Christopher Bell.
No,
in the truck series.
Who are the final? We down to one of the final four. I didn't even look at that one today.
Well, it's Justin Haley, Johnny Sauter, Brett Moffitt, and I was hoping Craig Moore would say the fourth one because I'm not sure. Is it Infinger?
Oh, I believe so.
Okay.
Well, if it's Infinger, I'm going to go with Infinger just because we've had him on the network, and so I got to pull for somebody that's been on the show.
Okay. What about Xfinity Series, Craig Moore? Do we have these up?
Well, I don't have them up. I just know who I was going to pick. And actually, CJ said it too. I'm going to go with Christopher Bell. I think that his strong performance from last week shows, and he doesn't have the most glorious finishes at Miami Homestead. I forget what his average finish is, but I think that he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. And I think that he showed last week that he can get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who wouldn't bet on Christopher Bell? I mean, you got those cheating-ass Toyotas and, you know, a racetrack where, you know, Joe Gibbs has showed a lot of dominance over the years.
Now, the one thing that Christopher Bell said that kind of rang funny with me. Where does everybody run at Miami Homestead?
At the top.
Right. He said it's like running on sandpaper up there. He said it's too tricky. He says, I prefer to run down a groove and a half. So we'll have to see if that works for him to bring home the championship. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. I mean, look, Christopher Bell is you got 7 wins. Cole Custer has 1 win. Tyler Reddick has 1 win, and Daniel Hemric has 0 wins. It's not anywhere beyond the imagination to believe that Christopher Bell won't be your 2018 Xfinity champion. Tyler Reddick, Daniel Hemric, and Cole Custer, they're going to have to beat Christopher Bell. And what better way to win a championship than to get your first win while you win the championship? Guys, I'm going to throw all my money on Daniel Hemric. I have to. I know Tyler Reddick is the sunshine boy out of California, Mr. Redhead. And who hasn't liked the strong performance Cole Custer has put over this year in the Xfinity Series? Really looking forward to what he's going to do next year. But Daniel Hemric, he's the success story, guys. Kannapolis, North Carolina native, grew up a junior fan, now is going to race for Richard Childress, Junior's father's company. He's taken over the 31 car from Ryan Newman. You know, this kid's got a lot behind him. What better way than to really seal the deal and make people realize that Hemric can be a threat in the Cup Series than by winning a championship here this year and getting his very first win of his career in the Xfinity Series? Because, guys, without that win in Xfinity, Cup drivers are not going to give him any respect as he works his way up to Cup next year. You know, it's they're going to look at him and say, oh, you know, you must have had the right money on your side because you didn't even win a race in Xfinity. How the heck are you going to come up here to the Cup and win a race here? So, based on that, I think that that Daniel Hemric, he's going to show his cards, and he's going to have that machine, that 21 car there at the South Point Chevrolet in victory lane, and he will be your champion.
Wow. Now, I'm going to, in Cup, here's my pick. Are you ready?
Yeah.
To win the race, it's going to be Chase Elliott. To win the championship, it's going to be, let me look in my crystal ball, let me rub
out. Any, mini, mighty, mo, touch a tiger by its toe.
I don't touch tigers. I'm gonna go with Logano.
Oh, whoa. Mr. CJ Sports, did that catch you off guard? I know it did me. Go ahead. Wow. Do you have a reason why you're going with Logano?
Just because he's, I don't want to say he's hungrier than the other three, but the other three have something he doesn't, which is a championship.
Right.
He's going to run hard and fast to stay the hell away from Truex, because if Truex were to live up to his word, that could be deadly for everybody. I just think that he's hungrier than the rest of them. He's never had one. He's finished second before. Nobody likes to be the bridesmaid. So I think that he's going to get up there, and he's not going to sandbag. He's going to try to collect as many stage points as possible, so that if he doesn't win the race, at least he's ahead on stage points.
Okay. I mean, it sounds legit, and I think Logano has a really good chance going into this. He is kind of the underdog, as we've talked about the big three all year long. But that we've also left it on the table that you can peak at the right time, and Logano is sitting on as the number one rank. I mean, 2 wins, 12 top fives. I don't see how many top tens. I think it's 25 top tens. The difference between him and Kyle Busch has 8 wins and 21 top fives. But Kevin Harvick has the most top fives and the most wins. Well, he's tied with 8, but 22 top fives by Kevin Harvick. Guys, something's got to happen to one of those two drivers, one of those three drivers, I think, for Logano to have a chance. Of course, I've been on the Blue Roval wagon all year long, and I'm picking the closer. I'm picking the closer, because why would we call him the closer if he wasn't good at closing out these kind of races, guys? Kevin Harvick, he's my pick, number 4, going for number 2. If you look at his career with Stuart Haas versus his career with Richard Childress, we realize how much talent Kevin Harvick really had at Richard Childress and just was never able to present it at certain racetracks because of the performance issues that have been crippling Childress since the days of Earnhardt. Yeah, I'm going for Harvick, man. Number 4, that Jimmy Johns, baby. What about you, Mr. CJ Sports?
Well, who I wanted to win and who I think are going to win are two different things, but since you pick who I think's going to win the championship in Kevin Harvick, then I'll go with who I want to win, so we have a different pick, and that therefore will be Kyle Busch winning another championship himself.
Why did I think any different? You are so
particular. You're telling me that you're not going to pick Kevin Harvick because I picked Kyle Busch. Why agree?
You just said that backwards.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Kyle Busch is going to win. So I think our thoughts are backwards.
I thought you said
Kevin Harvick for the championship, but, you know, that, like I said, guys, the fact of it is this is such a nail-biter that I picked Kevin Harvick because he is the closer, okay, and he knows how to finish these races. But one thing I would like to mention, since you picked Kyle Busch and he's your guy, I want to tell y'all, there's somebody out there who's hungry too, and that's to get that whatever it is, the thing called beside his championship in 2013, where we know that he was hurt for most of the year and actually won that championship based off the playoff format and not because he was a contender all year long. So, you know, I think if anybody felt like they needed retribution for a championship, it is Kyle Busch. So I'm not surprised at all that that's who you picked. But one thing about it, there's three of us, and we picked three different drivers. There's one driver out there, Martin Truex Jr. Before we end the show, let's give a reason why you think Martin Truex Jr. won't win the championship.
Won't win it?
I'll start with you, CJ.
The reason I don't think he'll win it is I think that Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch are, I just think the one of them two are going to win it. There's no really other reason Other than that, I think that Martin Truex has had a great year, is a great driver, and a great team, and it's a shame everything is playing out the way it is. But I think that all this that went on with Kevin Harvick, and I don't know if you all watched the press media stuff with him and Chase Elliott. That was kind of entertaining to watch. I don't know if you all caught that. Especially, I don't know nothing about the car. I understand you don't know a lot of the mechanical side because you don't work on the car, but I also know, being a driver, you know a lot about the car at the same time. Kevin Harvick, with the experience that he has and kind of the chip on his shoulder with everything and the penalty and everything, makes the Kevin Harvick thing, and then Kyle Busch, you guys all know, I think Kyle Busch is the most talented driver. Kyle Larson might be the next most talented driver out there when you talk about just drivers. And so it's hard for me to pick against either one of them two, regardless what Truex has done or not done this year. It's not really anything against Truex. I just think that those two drivers, there's those reasons right there why I would pick them over Martin Truex.
Craig.
Wow. That was like going to California to get the Maryland from New York. Holy cow. Here's why I don't think Martin Truex is going to win. They've had way too many mistakes this year. Silly, stupid mistakes on pit road that they weren't able to overcome. I think that the added pressure, and he said it himself in his press conference with tonight on NASCAR America in his interview. He said, we have had to say that that Furniture Row not closing hasn't been a distraction would be an understatement. And we've spoke about this numerous times. So I think that between pit road incidents, penalties on pit road, and the Furniture Row locking their doors is going to be too much of a distraction this weekend. That's my opinion. Some may say that is a great motivating factor to bring Barney Visser his final championship, but what the hell difference does it make? It's not like he's fielding a team next year, so it's not like he's going to have preferential treatment, so it really doesn't matter. I'll let you chime in now, Chris.
Well, you know, and I agree with a lot. I think that, you know, Truex is, without the stage points from earlier in the year, he wouldn't be where he is now. He hasn't overperformed since the chase. Squeezing in on this one after such a dominant season, you're right. They're just not clicking on all cylinders. It would be a great fairy tale story, but I'm going to tell you the reason why Truex is not going to win. He has spent this week still upset at something that happened 2 weeks ago. There's a lot of emotion tied behind this race team. They watched their hauler leave the shop for the very first time, for the very last time.
Yep.
There's going to be a sad feeling around their team, and there's no way to hide that. Okay, some of these guys are not going to go to work. They're going to have to find other jobs at other shops, or they may not. Who knows? Some of them may not. You know, I hope that most of them find a career outside of this. But, you know, the only three people that we know that are going to Joe Gibbs is his spotter and Cole Pearl. So other than that, these guys were already fired by Joe Gibbs. The pit crew was, last year when the whole fiasco happened between Rogers and Pearn. So, I doubt Joe Gibbs hires these guys back. He's already got a team, you know, hired for the 19 car. So it's just going to be too much to overcome. And knowing that Logano's still in his head, even though to this day when I look back on it, I think, you know, that's one of the best finishes I've ever seen. So I don't really know what the problem was other than the second place guy didn't win. I felt like that was a hangover from the Jimmy Johnson incident. And with that, that just shows how competitive this chase is. Jimmy forgot that he was seven-time champion. He forgot that he was going to be in a bid for eight-time champion. If he had just held back, he thought a win was more important. Martin Truex was the losing end. I think all this has stemmed from there, and since then it's been reality that we're not going to be where we are today next year. So with that, Martin Truex is beat before he even gets to the racetrack.
Yep. That's what I said. Now, who do you pick to win the race, Chris? Not necessarily who you think is going to win the championship, but who do you think is going to win the race for your guy to win the championship?
I tell you what, to do this a little bit easier, I'll pick two guys outside the championship that I think have a chance to win this race. And one of them is going to be Brad Keselowski, and the other one is going to be Kyle Larson. And Brad Keselowski, Team Penske, you know, you can't beat Team Penske. They have the resources. Brad's fast. He got eliminated kind of early in the playoffs. He has something to prove. Brad Keselowski, of course, I feel like he has a chance to win. Kyle Larson, we all know Kyle gets up on that top side. He has a fast race car at tracks like this. So Kyle Larson, we could be watching him take the checkered flag Sunday. If you had two picks outside of the championship contenders, Craig Moore, who would you pick and why?
I would pick Chase Elliott and Dale Jr. No, Dale Jr. is not running. I would go with
William Byron.
Chase Elliott or Eric Almirola.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stepping up Stuart Haas Racing.
What's that?
Stepping up Stuart Haas. I mean, really, this guy finished second to Kyle Busch last week. I feel the momentum there. They're not racing for a championship, but they've got to race for a trophy.
Right. So that's who I think. That's who I think, and I think that they've got something to prove. You know, we said this earlier. We were all hot on Chase Elliott for a while. He was the can't-do-nothing-wrong kid, and the bell has been quiet in Dawsonville.
Yeah. Thanks to Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
All right, this is CJ Sports. To pick a driver outside of the championship that could possibly win this race, two drivers, who would they be?
He's sleeping.
He is, isn't he?
He's sleeping.
Son of a gun. Son of a gun done went to sleep on us. Well, I guess
I didn't realize
I guess
I was,
got a bad idea.
I didn't realize I was muted. Not that I picked anybody yet, because my whole mindset is whoever is going to win the championship is going to either Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch is going to win the race, in my opinion. But to try to come somebody outside of that, one of them, and I don't know who, one of them I think is going to be a total, and I've thought about this the whole time you're telling me pick two. I honestly thought if it wasn't them two, that whoever won it would be somebody, a dark horse, somebody that nobody's expecting for one reason or another. I don't know, maybe a Daniel Suarez or, you know, just somebody out of nowhere, finish their season off on a high note and give us all something to sit there and talk about and maybe our mouths open kind of, whoa, how, you know, how, what, where. I like the Kyle Larson pick, and I don't know, for some reason, Jimmy Johnson keeps sticking out at me.
I was feeding it to you, and I'm going to feed you the other one, too, through my brain. Maybe you'll get it, too, but go ahead.
Something about this being their last race together with Lowe's and everything else, and Chad Knaus, maybe that, you know, all of it comes together for one last race, and they're able to kind of, to me, it's kind of like the whole Tennessee Titans beating New England last week. Yeah, you went all in because, you know, their coach was a player and a coach for Bill Belichick, so, you know, you kind of, everything came together. You put a little extra effort into that game against the Patriots, just like this being the last weekend with Lowe's and the last weekend with them two together, that, you know, you kind of put that little extra into it to kind of finish it all out with a bang together. And so for some reason, that Jimmy Johnson thing kind of sticks out.
And you still got one more.
Well, Kyle Larson would be my other.
Kyle Larson, okay. So
yeah,
we're leaving William Byron on the table here. We're leaving Ryan Blaney on the table. Paul Menard.
No.
Of course, it's kind of hard to pick outside of that, but, you know, Eric Jones, like you said, Daniel Suarez. This could
Alex
be
Bowman.
One of those. You know, Alex Bowman. William Byron seems to be the one that I feel like we left on the table there that could pop up. I mean, William Byron, it is the last race of the season. You know, we could definitely see a surprise winner here while other people are worried. Obviously, this has been the year of problems for championship drivers. We've seen it with Kurt Busch the year that he won it. He ran right in, you know, he basically totaled his car out and still won the championship somehow by the grit of his teeth because of problems by other drivers. So based off the other races from this year, we can't think that these four guys are going to make it pristine through the race. And if they don't, this gives the opportunity for one of these other guys with their tongue hanging out to chase that rabbit there for their first cup win or maybe second or third cup win. But, guys, it's been great. Of course, we're running out of time. We're running out of season. Looking back, you know, 30-something episodes already. I think this is 37 or 38. It's been amazing. It's been fun. Looking forward to next year already. You know, I hope that all of y'all enjoy your time off during the holidays and spend it with family. And we'll still stay in touch, as we always do, from now to January. But just a couple more shows left, and we'll call it a year. Any thoughts on that, guys? You know, as we get ready to get off.
I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about race cars in the wintertime, though, when it's really nothing going on. But I guess, you know, it's kind of what Craig's saying. You know, it's been a weekly thing for 40 weeks, and that creates a bond. And, you know, whether or not I agree with your opinions doesn't matter because in the end we're still friends. And it's always nice to get the other side of the bill. And I think that's one thing unique about this show. Though we don't agree with a lot of things, we don't set our opinions to disagree, but we also take respect by each opinion that's given here on the radio show, and that's something that I appreciate more than anything, because there's not been a single disagreement that turned into an argument here on Race Chat Live, and that says a lot, that we can actually come on here and disagree with each other and not hurt any feelings.
Chris, listen.
Yeah.
I'm always, the reason we don't ever argue is because, like at your house where Miss Heather's always right and you're always wrong, it's the same thing when I'm not right, you're always wrong.
I'm always wrong. That's right. I get that a lot. As a matter of fact, I get it so much that I remind my wife, remember, don't get too cocky or you'll wind up like me. all them times I was really sure of something, I got proven wrong in the end. So, but now the one thing that I will stay firm on, guys, and I know that this has been a topic for several years now, Chip Ganassi will lose Kyle Larson to somebody if Chip Ganassi doesn't ante up and get those quality rides that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Kyle Larson will have left a career on the table if he does not go to somewhere where he can be more competitive, if Chip Ganassi's not willing to make them competitive enough.
I agree.
Yep.
Oh, real quick, before we go, not racing related, but I don't know if any of you guys seen my post from earlier, the benefit I did for the young lady Monday night, they have arrested somebody, so amen to
really?
That. Yeah.
Wow.
That's it.
So,
that's awesome.
God,
well, thank you guys.
Little...
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And prayers for the family there. But thank you guys so much for the opportunity, Mr. CJ Sports. Of course, without the 110 Nation Blog Talk Radio Network, we wouldn't be able to do this. And, of course, the friendship and the bond that you and I have created over the years. So sometimes, as I've said before, Jason, Mr. CJ Sports. Sometimes we don't agree on certain things, but we've always been able to get past that and create these wonderful shows for content and for people's viewership. And we continue to look forward to doing it again next year and building on what we've already created here. I think that I started on this network in 2015, so looking forward to 4 years in a row next year.
Definitely very excited to have you guys back next year. Very glad to hear that you guys are wanting to come back on this network next year, and definitely looking forward to and ready for another season with you guys.
All right. Thank y'all for listening to Race Chat Live. It's been fun. Craig, you got anything to close with, bud?
No, I just want to wish everybody a happy Easter and spend time with your
happy
family.
Easter.
Lord knows
Easter? Easter?
Sir, Thanksgiving. See, I'm rushing the holidays. I want out of the snow.
Everybody else is getting mad because we're skipping to Christmas, and you just went straight to Easter.
Well, because I'm not. Listen, I'm just trying to rush back to the good weather. Wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Spend time with your families because, as it's been proven time and time again, you never know.
Yes,
sir. That's exactly right.
I'm out of here. Have a good holiday, everybody.
All right. You too, man. See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.